Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Everyone, happy summer. I hope you're doing well. For those of y'all that have kids, I hope you're having less basement mommy moments than I often have during the summer. And I know you're getting ready for the launch of the new line, which is so, so beautiful. So as we start thinking about getting geared up for our big August launch, I really wanted you guys to check out this conversation that I had with Sarah Sherwood, my friend who's also a life coach. If y'all remember, we spoke on episode 38 about shame resilience, and I would love for you guys to go check that episode out if you have not already. On this conversation, we dig a little deeper into the areas of life that keep us from stepping into our stories and changing the world. So we're going to be talking about energy management and how to make the most of the energy that we have, as well as the power of the stories that we tell ourselves. So you're going to hear some great tips and some wisdom to share, and I hope this is going to be super helpful to you. I know it was to me, and literally we just sat in my office and chatted, and I like got out my phone and said, let's record. So you're just going to get really just to get to be a part of this conversation.
When I start with a new client, we always look at the five dimensions of human energy, and that's okay. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social relational.
Okay.
Because they're all interplaying with one another. And what we look at first is to identify where are my energy leaks. So Oftentimes we're like, I need to do more, add more, push more, dig a little deeper and just express more effort.
Like go after my passions.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, girl, if you have a huge hole in your bucket, we need to fix that first. And so that's where we start. It's looking at where my energy leaks and being able to be really honest. And what you're speaking to, that would be an energy leak.
Right.
Like perseverating on my disappointments or missed opportunities or perceived failures, things that aren't happening that I would like to happen, for sure. But then there's really basic ones too in like physical
staying
and mental.
Staying up late. Yeah. Like not getting enough sleep.
I always start there. Sleep hygiene and like too much sugar, too much alcohol, like those kinds of things are going to be massive energy leaks that are actually within our control, where there's a lot of things happening in life that may feel
outside of our
choice and control. So that's kind of the basic, but what you're speaking to, I think,
which by the way is empowering in and of itself, because
totally.
There's this song that I like to work out to. I got the power. Yeah. Bom, chicka, bom, bom. Yeah. And I do, because I think sometimes, you know, like on a Friday evening, if you've had a really stressful week, you don't necessarily feel in control of resisting all of the chips in the queso.
Right.
You know, but the truth is you do have the power. Like,
right.
Within, like, you, I think that's just so empowering. It's like, no, food doesn't own me. Like, I can make choices here. But that goes into the energy thing, because if you've been energy leaking all week,
right.
You don't, okay, you have the power. How do I say this? Like, I do believe you have the power, but yeah, your energy has leaked so much that you just eat queso.
Totally. Yeah, you have to be present to be in choice.
Okay.
And so
that's a good one.
Yeah. So it's what you're speaking to.
That's a really good
is
one.
Is why so many of us are in those patterned
right.
ways of trying to reduce our stress level or just to kind of check out, you know, the numbing behaviors or the acting out behaviors are so connected to our stress management. And then obviously stress depletes our energies. And so it is, it's, and I think too, what I find is people want to have a very extreme swing one way or the other. They want to suddenly never or always, you know, eat the queso or get 8-9 hours of sleep every night.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that that it's like, if we can understand that every small choice, even if like chips and queso, maybe we just have like half as much as we normally
would. Totally.
Do you know what I mean? That, yeah. That it has an impact.
Yeah.
Because we tend to.
It's the perfectionistic.
It is.
It's like, okay, I can only go to the gym today for 30 minutes instead of an hour. I just won't go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or what, you know, we can think of a million examples, but it's crazy how much that thinking is kind of embedded in our little brain waves, you know, until we kind of.
We're very dichotomous in our thinking, very all nothing, black, white, either or. And until we recognize that, we just have no idea that we think that way, you know? And what happens is we have an expectation. So here's an example. I had a conversation with someone today and I was visioning with her and she said, you know, what I would really love, my goal actually is what she said. My goal is to go an entire month without getting upset at anyone in my family.
Oh my gosh.
And I sat there for a minute. I was like, do we have the come to Jesus? You know what I mean? Do I just be real? May I offer some direct reflection? You know what I mean? It was like, that's never going to happen.
Right.
And so as long as she, you know, as long as that's your goal.
Right.
Then what's the point of trying?
Right. And then what's the point of putting energy, like what's behind that goal, right? Like is what she needs to be putting her emotional energy into.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think where we live primarily is in our emotional experience, but we forget that how we think influences how we feel. So I think physical and then mental are really the things that will have the biggest, the most primary energy leaks. And it just takes a little bit of focus and a little bit of intention to condition our belief, like to really be intentional about how we're thinking.
Right.
And it's not to dismiss our disappointment or the missed opportunity or the thing that we had hoped would happen and the person who didn't return our phone call or said no to the trunk show, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It's not to dismiss our feelings, but it's to that we get to decide what it means.
Right. Right. What meaning are we ascribing to it? You know, and I see that dichotic thinking in our ambassador community. And it's actually so detrimental because people think like, oh, well, I can't be in the top 20. I can only do one trunk show this month, so I don't count. And yet when I go travel and meet artisans, what artisans say over and over again is like, please tell your ambassadors, no matter what, every sale matters.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that is the hard truth of like, it is actually up to me. I'll speak for myself. It's actually up to me to decide what it means.
That's so empowering.
Yeah. And it's hard, but it's encouraging because like personally where I am in my own journey is I've made this first and foremost because my energy is going to fluctuate and my emotional state is going to ebb and flow, but I can always be aware of the thought that I'm having and condition belief. It makes me think of, you know, there's a scripture verse that actually says that faith is the evidence of the things that we hope for. And that used to always be really interesting to me because I was like, well, but what do you do when you're there? The evidence is telling you the thing that you're not hoping for.
Right.
Like, that person didn't call me back.
Right.
I've done three trunk shows and like one person has come each time and it's my best friend and she feels sorry for me. Uh-huh. So of course she's going to be there or whatever it may be. And that got me tripped up for a while. Cause I was like, actually the things that I'm hoping were different. I have a lot of evidence to show you why it's true.
Uh-huh.
And so it finally started to click of like, oh, wait a minute. I actually, evidence is relative. So I actually can gather evidence to prove that the thing I'm hoping won't happen is true, or I can gather evidence in the contrary.
Yeah.
And something a mentor taught me was to take a belief that you're stuck in, like, I'm going to fail. Mm-hmm. Is a good general one. Mm-hmm. And look at it like a tree.
Or we could do nobody cares about me.
Nobody cares.
Because sometimes people deal with that, you know?
Oh, those people?
Those people.
Those people out there.
Yes.
I've heard about, I coach those people.
Okay.
Yeah. They share their stories with me. Right?
Yeah.
No, this is good that we're giggling about that. So mine is that I go without. So I'm always outputting, but I'm not receiving.
Right.
So my contribution circle to the world is like the size of Montana. Mm-hmm. But as far as like how that gives back to me in my life, it's like Rhode Island, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I have a long list of evidence, right, that I could point at to prove that to be true. But when I realize like in studying the brain and understanding mindset on a much deeper level is like, I actually can build the root system of the belief that I want to condition. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like going to the gym and building an incredibly weak muscle.
Well, and it's so interesting because you are an energy conserver. Like your approach would be more towards scarcity is what you just described, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
My approach is like, I can do all the things and I live without limits.
Right.
You know, I now have staph infection all over my face. I went to like three countries and five cities last month.
Great.
Yeah.
Talk about dichotomy.
Wanting to challenge you on, you know, okay, I'm thinking about the ambassador who's like, man, I went scared. I signed up for this thing and I'm wanting to push her more. Like, I'm wanting her to keep dwelling on the edge. But then on the other hand, you said, well, stress depletes us. But mm-hmm. then on the other hand, I'm thinking, yeah, but stress is kind of where we come alive.
Exactly.
Like, give me the stress, man.
It's a balance.
But yeah.
It has to be renewable. Okay. As long as you're renewing, like energy is
abundant. That's a good way to see it.
Like time is scarce, but energy is abundant. That's my perspective. Okay. And energy is renewable by design.
Yeah.
Like how it works.
Like emotional energy, physical energy is not abundant, right?
All of it's renewable.
Oh, it's renewable. Renewable.
Okay. So it has to, it's more that the more that I build in rituals of renewal,
mm-hmm.
whatever category of energy is feeling depleted, then I will have more energy. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is then you're living on that edge or dwelling there on the edge requires less energy.
Right.
So because you're renewing it. Your stores are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been on the edge, you stay on the edge, you continue on the edge, you've been on the edge now for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
then at some point you just are out. Mm-hmm. You tap out and that's burnout. That's what ends up, you know, happening. And so I don't recommend doing the extremes, you know,
right.
A lot of people are in a cycle of burning out, refreshing, you know, burning out, refreshing. But if you can seal up some of your energy leaks, make some small habit changes.
Mm-hmm.
And like you spoke to, sleep hygiene is huge. It's really at the foundation of how we are designed as humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where we renew and restore more than anything.
I have to say, I did come home pretty tired from just a crazy April. And then I did get a really horrible infection. And so I was knocked out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm back to my normal, like, sleep and waking up and exercising. And I mean, I feel like a different person.
Yeah.
But it's hard because travel is the most invigorating and biggest fill for me. And it's the most depleting energy-wise.
So that's where you just understand that and build in rituals of renewal.
Specifically for my physical energy, which I think is like a really cool way to think about these five components of energy. Mm-hmm. Because I think people challenge me and it's like, well, slow down and don't travel. I'm like, I love traveling. Like it is
oh, gosh, the fill. That's like horrible advice for
right,
you.
Right. Like just chill out.
But it might be, you know, understanding that you need an extra day or two on the back end, or you need something like a way to be restored when you return or even while you're there. Mm-hmm. And that would be unique to each person. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But no, I think giving our energy can be renewing as well. Mm-hmm.
And so can we do, like, when you think about the ambassadors tuning in right now, like what's, could they do some homework around this? Like, think about your noonday business and these five places of energy and mm-hmm. how they apply to your business. Because one person, you know, might not struggle with emotional depletion mm-hmm. if someone says no. Like, that might actually be a fill because it's a challenge. And it's like, oh my gosh, you just like put fire in my belly. I'm going to dominate this city, you know? Like, you wait and see, girl. You know, and then, I don't know, like, what could the homework be?
Well, I think a basic idea is to look at those areas. And I have a assessment that I could figure out how to get to your ambassadors.
Cool.
And it's just looking at the five areas and asking a bunch of questions. And then you self-identify where your leaks are.
Okay.
And it's including your personal life. But then it's how that then plays out. But, and then just picking one place to start to build in new rituals of renewal. But like I said, for most people, physical and mental are primary. And so another homework thing to think about, as I was sharing earlier, understanding that where we gather evidence will point towards something being true, right? So like in a trial, you could have two really good lawyers. And when this lawyer speaks, you're like, oh, that person did it, you know? But then when this lawyer speaks, you're like, oh, wait a second, no. They did it based on evidence, right? So it matters. So what I do around that is I will identify whatever belief I'm having. Usually it's subconscious, so it takes a little bit of time.
Right.
This way, like exploring.
It's hard.
This.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand all the evidence I've gathered around why I think that's true. And then I decide what a new belief is that I want to condition. Mm-hmm. And I start to gather evidence and I'll write it down. Mm-hmm. So a real basic one is, you know, I'm going to fail versus I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. And when I'm focused on I'm going to fail, then I gather all the evidence mm-hmm. around why I'm failing mm-hmm. and why this is never going to work and I'm never going to make it, you know, and X, Y, Z. But when I focus on I'm going to win, then I'm gathering evidence that proves that I'm winning. Mm-hmm. And it allows us.
And is that stuff like, I did get a call back, or my mom just made a purchase of a necklace yesterday. And sometimes we discount even like if our moms buy us something. It's like, well, that doesn't count. She's my mom. It's
exactly.
Like, actually, like that was a sale. And my mom is going to wear that necklace now. And other people are going to ask her about it. Right. Or
totally. And I think it's also celebrating our small steps. Because those are our wins. We have to celebrate our wins or everything feels not enough.
Oh my so God, that's so me.
Yeah. So it's like I figured out, I don't know all the pieces ambassadors need to do. So I'll try to think of a good example, but like I organized my inventory so I know exactly what I have
right,
I need to place a new order. And I've been thinking about doing that for 3 weeks and I did it this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to celebrate that.
Yeah.
Like this is me moving my business forward.
Well, and a lot of what we talk about too is that focus on our activities and not on the outcome of those activities,
right.
You know,
totally.
Like to celebrate like our own action. I did finally call back that person or mm-hmm. I asked that person to host for the third time mm-hmm. instead of like, that person still hasn't called me back and said no or whatever. Focus instead on the fact that what you did.
Totally. And it's not even just all actionable. So even like you know, myself as an example, yesterday I woke up just feeling like it's a bust, you know, like it's just like.
I've had a lot of those this week, honestly.
Yeah. It's been one of those weeks.
Yeah, it has.
And I was able to acknowledge that and shift my attention a little bit. It wasn't like a 180.
Right.
But even like celebrating that of like, you know what? I could have stayed here.
Totally.
For 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever. And I didn't. I was able to find some strength and some courage to allow myself to feel the way I'm feeling and look around and gather some different evidence. So,
and I see this a lot on Facebook, and I, you know, I want to be careful because I want our Facebook page to be a place of vulnerability. But I do think that when there's like, you know, this hostess, I don't know, the way people frame sort of their perceived failures, you know, and it's like, that looks like evidence gathering to me. Like, what's some other evidence that could be gathered that shows something different, you know?
Totally. No, and that's a great example. So I just wrapped up a huge investment in a mastermind with some sales and marketing like gurus, like really, really top-notch support. And I had to like turn the ship because I could just compare the like pace and rate of success versus other members of the group or look for something else. And so I really disciplined myself to what is actually important to me and then what is my perspective going to be on this? And I found something really empowering because I realized, you know what? What's more important to me, and I like feel my heart flutter even just thinking about it, is it's way more important to me that I build the character I need to support the thing that I'm called to do and the people that I'm called to help than it is for me to have like a quick success. And so there's a deep trust that allows me to feel really strong and invincible where I'm like, I'm not going to be tossed back and forth by the immediacy of like, how many sales did I make this week or how many people
signed up for the thing.
And it just allowed me to settle deep. It's like that deep rooted tree where it was like, this tree is growing. And I could like look at it every day and be like, there's no perceivable change, but these, I want to be this big, like a big sequoia.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I, trust me, it took a while for that to happen.
Well, and I think that that kind of goes back into this whole idea around commitment, trying versus committing. And I even put that on Instagram this week. I said like, decide today, like I'm going to decide today. I'm not going to quit. And like so much, when I'm stressed, I spend energy, emotional energy, I guess is what it would be, maybe mental, on where is the exit door? You know, like I'm on an airplane. Where's the emergency exit?
Plan B, girl.
Plan B. I focus my energy on plan B.
When this doesn't work out, what am I going to do? That's what, and then we're like, and we're gathering evidence as to why it's not going to work.
And then that's robbing the energy that could go towards flying plane,
right?
Knowing that you have what it takes to land it. But of course, I'm comparing it to a plane where that's how I feel with New Day, because it is inescapable for me. Like there is no way out. And I'm sure, you know, I guess you could sell companies or whatever, but that's not on the plan. Like we're changing the world, and it's the biggest joy of my life. So I absolutely am thrilled and passionate about what we're doing. But when it gets stressful, I do start looking for like the exit door. And for my ambassadors, they aren't necessarily in an airplane up in the air.
Right.
They're more like in a car that they could pull over
right.
and decide, I'm going to go ahead and get out now, you know?
Totally.
And so I think that's part of having you on, which is so fun to have you on again, is like, you know, how getting people, getting ambassadors to spend their emotional and mental energy on the right things, because I cannot have a bunch of cars pulling over. And I know that I'm sort of always fighting that tendency. Mm-hmm. And I actually gave a real strong call to action at this year's Shine that was basically like, you know, commit, do, you know, try is not a word. Like mm-hmm. when you have a kid, you're not like, I'm going to try to be the best mom possible. It's like, no, you're going to like commit to raising that kid. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because one of my ambassadors that has this like exit strategy talk mm-hmm. with me like every 6 months, you know, like, I don't know. I just am tired, or so, you know, this isn't going like I thought, or this is, you know, I loved it. Something I said, she told me a couple weeks after that, she said, basically what I heard you say was shit or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. I mean, I could have just gotten up and said that. Maybe that would have, you know, done it. But I don't know. Let's talk about commitment, because mm-hmm. you're committed to your business mm-hmm. to, you know, hey, I'm just going to keep going. Plus, you are a tenacious and persevering person. Like, that is your bent.
Yes, it is.
So,
whether
you like it or not, let's talk to the people that's not their bent.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's talk about entrance first. Like, when people sign up, what is it that is identifiable for them as to why they want to do this?
I mean,
like, on average, generally speaking, for your ambassadors, I'm curious.
Like, what's our process to getting them to identify that? Or what is their why?
What
usually?
Do you notice collectively?
Okay, for sure, their biggest whys when you're signing up are some of it's income, mm-hmm. for sure, and mission. Like, I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. Mm-hmm. I want to make an impact. I matter. I mean, maybe that matter, I matter, is a whisper, like, I matter. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're just beginning to see that I matter and that they can really make a difference. Mm-hmm. And then people stay usually because, I mean, obviously our income career path has been bolstered over the years. So mm-hmm. it's like, that's awesome, because I was just recently with some ambassadors and they're like, I just love being able to pay for my date nights with my mm-hmm. husband. You know, like, there's something so empowering about all that. Totally. So income is why people stay, but then community. And when people sign up, they don't know that that's what's going to have them stay, mm-hmm. is that we are just this freaking amazing community of women. And it's like, we create a safe space for one another, mm-hmm. but not safe to sit, mm-hmm. safe to stand up and own your worth and like go change the world.
Right.
It's freaking awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
I think one of the pieces of that correlates to that is understanding, like, being really honest and being able to touch our personal pain point of not being on mission, of not being connected to something bigger than ourselves, of not finding ways, having earning potential and contributing to our families, like those kinds of things. Because if we're focused on the pain point of what's required,
I have to put myself out there, I have to pack my car up,
then it's too much. It's very ever present. And I think that's always my challenge to people who think the exit ramp is better.
Okay.
It's like, let's really explore the pain point of giving up, mm-hmm. of not being connected to something bigger than yourself. You know what that feels like. You felt that way before you connected and became an ambassador. Let's remember what was that like? Mm. Truly, like, what was the hell of that? Mm-hmm. What did mm-hmm. that cost you? Mm-hmm. It's so costly for us to give up our dream. Mm. It's incredibly costly for us to be isolated and disconnected from a community that we feel like has shared values. It's incredibly costly for us to just like live kind of flaccid and be like, you know what? I'm just going to take the easy way out. Mm-hmm. It's so costly. So I think that is a kind of a reality check, wake up moment. Mm-hmm. A lot of times with new potential clients, I'll explore this with them because they're basically telling me, like, stress is ruining my life. I'm not getting, I'm spinning my wheels. I can't get anything done, you know, all this kind of stuff. But then when there's a commitment call mm-hmm. or like getting some skin in the game, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I'm good. You know, it's like, okay.
Okay.
So I think it is, it's funny because we talk about sometimes, you know, living on purpose, having mission, making a difference. We'll use the phraseology, you know, counting the cost. Mm-hmm. But I would flip that and consider the cost of not.
Mm, that's cool. Yeah. And mm-hmm. that actually helps me right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. A little coaching session. Yeah.
Hey.
Because yeah. I have felt that way too. And the where it resonates for me is I'm able to recognize I feel like I'm in the middle of the ocean. There is no boat right now. Or, you know, that, like that's how it feels. Mm-hmm. I swam here.
Mm-hmm. On purpose.
Right. I thought there was something uh-huh. closer, apparently, than it actually is. But I really weigh it. I like allow myself to experience where I'm at and how that feels and all of that. But I think, you know what? The truth is, I either keep swimming this direction or I have to swim back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I've been back there mm-hmm. and something called me to more. Mm-hmm. Something was not satisfied deep within my soul. Mm-hmm. Something felt unrealized, unrecognized, unexpressed, whatever it may mm-hmm, be. Mm-hmm. And so just saying, you know what? I've been swimming a long time and I think I'm just done swimming. Mm. Isn't a point that lacks consequence, you know?
Right.
So I have to swim either direction and it will,
no matter what, I have to swim.
No matter what, I have to swim and it will lead me to very different outcomes.
Right.
And so
reminds me of Moana. Moana.
Yes.
It's so good, right?
Oh my gosh, she has to decide. Am I going to go back or am I going to go forward?
Totally.
Either one was going to cost her
yeah.
significantly.
Yeah.
So that, I'm just sharing from my heart, like that is what has saved me mm-hmm. in my process of continuing in the direction that I feel I am to go. And because I can recognize the easy way out, quote unquote, isn't easy, number one. And number two, it's actually incredibly costly mm-hmm. for me to choose to move away from the mm-hmm. challenges in my life, you know?
Well, and for us, you know, there's real cost for women that remain in prostitution.
Okay,
and,
girl.
You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, or...
Yeah, that's
the
yeah.
kid that, you know, isn't getting an education because mom still needs to earn more money. I mean, yeah. I mean, the stories are kind of endless at the cost that, you know. And that, I think, goes back to the whole I matter, you know, right. because I think ambassadors, like, I see this cost because I travel and I know our partners by name and their circumstances and the circumstances that they're, you know, trying to change in their communities mm-hmm. and making that connection so that my ambassadors are just as passionate, mm-hmm. if not more so than me,
right.
you know, and sort of owning that, like, but at the same time, battling that perfectionist mentality, like, okay, well, I might, you know, some people are like swimming freestroke super fast. Other people are breaststroking it. People are like, I'm going to go on my back because that uses the least energy possible.
Try not to sink.
Right. But still, all of it together adds up into such a huge impact, you know, and that's so exciting. I love that.
I've had to do a huge reframe because I have a lot of conversations with people that are in my lead funnel, basically. I mean, that's uh-huh. some business talk.
Yeah, totally.
That aren't either the right fit as a new client uh-huh. or aren't willing or ready to make a commitment, put uh-huh. some skin in the game, make an investment. And I've had to really shift the meaning that I attach to all of that. And now we talk about it all the time of like sales is about being in service and all this, mm-hmm. you know, but you have to chunk it down. And now I just focus on that one person and I imagine them. I picture them. I think about their life. I think about that they're a daughter or a husband or somebody's sister. And I take time before I get on the phone with them to really connect to that reality. Mm. And I just really set my intention to be in service to this person to the best of my capacity and ability and to bring them the highest and most maximum value mm-hmm. in the time that I get to touch their life. Mm-hmm. Trusting that the people I'm called to work with, I will work with them.
Right.
And that's very different than stepping into a conversation like that, thinking, I need a sale and my overhead this month is A I have B in the bank and C is my deficit. And just, you know what I mean?
So different.
So different. And you still have to manage your expectations. You still have to work through all of the things, right? It's not like now I'm just have no disappointment or feelings of,
right.
of, missed opportunity, but it actually
that's energy management right there.
It is, because it makes it, it's actually very life-giving for me.
Yeah.
I feel very alive. I give incredible value to someone, actually help change their life in that moment, even if I never have the opportunity to ever speak to them again. And so I share that as an example of, I think that there's opportunity for your ambassadors mm-hmm. to really change what it means for them to be in service.
To make an ask. Yeah, to sell. Yeah, to be in service. And not just for the artisans, which is easy for them to say, I'm doing this for the artisans, but to, I love what you said, like to focus on the person that they're asking to open mm-hmm. their home and right. and that we get to offer this gift of now this hostess gets to be a part of something bigger than herself.
Totally.
And now this hostess gets to connect with women. And now this hostess is going to walk away with some free jewelry, mm-hmm. you know, and just like what we have to offer is actually, it's a gift. I think some ambassadors can go into conversations thinking they're asking for favors.
Right.
Instead of realizing, no, I have a gift to offer you and it's called Noonday.
Right.
And not only is it going to change Ugandans' lives, but it really has the possibility to change your life too. Right.
Yeah, so I want to challenge every ambassador to sit down and think about for them personally what they perceive the inherent value is for somebody to host a trunk show mm-hmm. and to be as specific as you possibly can and make a bulleted list. And just keep going, keep going, keep going. And then I want to encourage you, challenge you, when you present that opportunity to somebody, mm-hmm. then you share with them, you vision for them mm-hmm. the benefit.
Yeah.
To the host.
That's so true.
And also listen with curiosity about that host and what they value. And then you can highlight one of the things that's a huge benefit based on their values, what's important to them. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're all different, right? But I think sometimes we feel like we're asking a favor. Mm-hmm. We feel bad. We're like, please, I hope. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for someone to feel connected to the opportunity.
Right. Yeah. Because like, they know, I mean, people sense that. What space you're coming from.
Yeah. And they kind of don't see, you know, unfortunately we are humans and they're not sure what's in it for them, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
If they don't care about, you know, if they're not like passionate about jewelry or something
right,
like
right.
that, it can like really, they can miss it.
Right. Right. Yeah. There are all the different ways of presenting that opportunity in a way that meets their need. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's kind of end on this whole edge dwelling. And okay, there's someone like me who I don't always realize when I'm outside of my edge, you know, because I want to push and
you
I mean, I'm writing a whole book on like getting outside of your comfort zone. So I do kind of live there. And then sometimes I can crash and it, but, you know, I've gotten so much better over the years. I mean, let's face it.
Totally.
I've grown. It's great. It's great. But man, it took being outside my comfort zone to grow, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of, well, even like I was talking to someone this week who was offered a really amazing job opportunity. Right now she's a freelancer and this job opportunity is incredible. And like when it was first presented to her, she completely blew it off. And then after a few days, she realized the only reason she was saying no to the job opportunity was for her own comfort. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, I kind of like my hours. Mm-hmm. I kind of like this part of my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And yet the opportunity staring down her face was a real opportunity to be a part of like something that was really passionate to her heart, you know, mm-hmm. in regards to social entrepreneurship and changing the world. And so so I think that's a good example of like, okay, I was about to stay within way far from the edge. Mm-hmm. But you could also say to guard my physical energy, right? Mm-hmm. You can start saying, well, I'm looking at my energy and I got to guard it and protect that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say no to this exciting thing because energy management, mm-hmm. right? That's building evidence for not what you're wanting this to build evidence
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Because for person A, the right answer, the true answer for them is that stepping into that isn't what they need. And then person B, it is exactly what they need. Right. So it's so unique and individual.
That's so true.
But I think as far as your first question around like when we just have a lifestyle of living on the edge, I think primarily it's asking yourself, what are my tells? You know, like in a high stakes game of poker, that's what you learn to watch other people and you learn their tells, right? So okay. you can figure out what's in their hand. Uh-huh. And I think it's important for us to know our tells. What are the things that start to pop up and emerge in my life in these five dimensions that tell me that I am too far out?
That's good. And, like I'm suddenly yelling at my kids, right. And I don't normally yell at my kids.
Totally. And for me, it's this kind of like malaise of fatigue. It's like I just kind of, and it feels like I don't care. And it's not true. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the energy to know if I care or not at mm-hmm. the moment, you know, mm-hmm. And a thousand other things.
Right.
And so I think if we can understand what those are, then we know that it's not necessarily that we need to step way back, but that we need to
replenish
and instigate some of our rituals of renewal.
I love that. Because then the question is not so much, what do I need to take away, but what do I need to add? Mm-hmm. I'm all about addition. But, you know, it could mean, okay, I need to add a time alone this weekend.
Yeah. Or some people need to take something away in order to be able to add.
That's fine.
But it helps you pause and be like, yeah, I don't really need to go to the three parties on Saturday for my kid or whatever. And giving yourself permission. And sometimes it's not even an addition in doing something. Like I said, the physical is primary, but the mental is key. And so sometimes it's just literally taking 5 minutes to take an assessment of where your thoughts are mm-hmm. and then deciding, nope, I'm going to shift that to, you know, like I'm actually winning and here's 10 reasons why I'm winning.
That's good.
And, but yeah, sometimes when we get so far out, that'll be one of our tells that we start to think, where's the exit ramp? I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to crash and fail mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, these are kind of these big thoughts. So that's also, you know, a big tell. Mm-hmm. Or if you just feel incredibly drained emotionally, you know, all sorts of things. Or you start to really isolate. You don't want to connect with people because you don't feel like you have the energy. Mm-hmm. All mm-hmm. those. So knowing your tells.
For me, like body image, it's like suddenly can become a focus for me mm-hmm. when I'm not doing well. Okay. Like, and I think it's because it's like, an escape, because then I start focusing on how I'm going to change my body. Mm-hmm. Because really, if my body was different, then I wouldn't be in pain right now.
Right.
You know, and it's escapism, mm-hmm. which is so strange.
Totally.
Like, because I've been thinking about that. Like, how come I'm suddenly triggered about this? Like, I have an awesome body. I have gone through a lot of self-acceptance in regards to that. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I'm like doing all the wrong things mm-hmm. in my mind, in the way how I'm talking to myself.
Totally.
Like, where did this come from?
And that's always a good question to get curious.
Yeah.
I think if there's something about ourselves that we start to perseverate on that we want to change, it's often because there's something that feels really outside of our control or our capacity to hold in other areas of our life.
That is so interesting.
And so we come back to like, well, I can fix this.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And then that will make everything else feel a lot better.
Gosh, yeah. So
then we just get
fixated.
Yeah. We fix on that. And it's like, what if you gave yourself a 15-minute coffee date with the thing that feels so overwhelming, you know? And you just were like, okay, let me just be with that. Let me just acknowledge that.
God, that takes courage.
Woo! Yeah. And come back to like, you know what? I don't actually know what's going to happen. I can't have certainty. The outcome is unknown. And let me tell you all the other times in my life when I was in uncertainty and did not know the outcome, and I won.
That's awesome.
And I call that the brag book.
Which the older we are, the bigger the brag book is. Girl. So that's why I just want to like, because the brag book was pretty lightweight, you know, in our 20s. Mm-hmm. But I think about the women now listening in their 20s, you know.
But it's not. It's just that we weren't gathering evidence.
No, we weren't gathering. Right, right.
Because the reality is, like, everything that you did to overcome your fear from age zero to whatever, you can pull from, it's evidence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's evidence.
That's so true.
But we mostly remember when it didn't go well, mm-hmm. when we had a very disappointing outcome, when we tried. And the thing I hear people say all the time, it's my current pet peeve.
Okay, let's hear it.
I've tried everything.
Oh, yeah.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, no.
No, you haven't.
No. Mm-mm.
So stop saying you've tried everything. And actually say, there's something I haven't tried.
Ooh, that's good. That's a good shift.
And I don't know what it is.
Ah, that's so good.
But if I stay open and curious and creative, it'll come to me and I'll figure it out.
Oh, you know? That's so empowering.
Yeah. Because it's just not true. But we gather evidence. We're like, I did A, B, and C. It's like, yeah, you did those things. You haven't done everything. And right. So I think that anytime we hit a wall, we hit a dead end, we hit a perceived, or, you know, we're just like, we look up and we're like, I'm in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. Okay. That wasn't the destination I had in mind.
Right.
We have a choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so good. Well, thank you again. Wasn't that an awesome conversation? This episode was packed to the brim of things I can't wait to put into practice. And I've actually been really thinking about this idea of energy management over time management. It's all about small choices, right? Small choices over time lead to change. And collecting the good evidence, we can do this. We're strong. You guys, we are. Our work and our worth matter. So let's rest up. Okay, go take a dip in a swimming pool or lake today. Be wise and aware about our energy and tell ourselves the stories of success, because we really can change the world. And honestly, believing that we matter is just half the battle.
So if you like what you heard today between Sarah and I and you want to connect with her or are interested in that energy assessment that we talked about, go find her on her website at sarahsherwood.com. She's also started a Facebook page and you can go find that as well. As always, guys, just keep hanging out and listening to You Matter. I hope these encourage you. That is exactly why we create them. I want to hear more what you learn. So head on over to the Ambassador Facebook page and hashtag You Matter, because you do. Have a good one.